You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
That was quite an appropriately timed ad, wasn't it? This week for Wire Worry Week, we are looking at anti-government movements. We're taking a pretty broad look at it as well. Justin's here now with a report looking into the Yemen civil war.
Yes, and the UN has called for the resumption of peace talks in Yemen last week as its civil war is now causing the world's worst humanitarian crisis at the moment. Here's some numbers. Half of the country's children under the age of five are malnourished, and a child dies every 10 minutes of preventable disease in Yemen. And I looked into the history of Yemen to find what caused the war, what happened since the war started in 2015. And at the end, I'm just going to talk a little about geopolitics that escalated the conflict. But now I'm going to start at 1990. The roots of Yemen's current civil war can be traced back to 1990, when North and South Yemen unified to form the Republic of Yemen. North Yemen, formed after the First World War, was a Shia-dominated state. It was founded after the Ottoman Empire collapsed in 1918, when Imam Yahya Muhammad declared the northern part of Yemen as an independent sovereign state, with Sana'a as its capital. South Yemen, on the contrary, was a protectorate of the British Empire since the 1870s because of its strategic location. The colony's capital was Aden, and it possessed natural ports to connect from the Indian Ocean to the Mediterranean. After South Yemen declared independence in 1967, it became a socialist state supported by the Soviet Union. However, the region was never stable, and a brief civil war broke out in 1986. After the reunification, Ali Abdullah Saleh from the north became the president and head of state of the new republic, while Ali Salim al-Bid of the south became the vice president and the head of government. However, just 4 years after the reunification in 1994, a civil war broke out in Yemen.
But in 1993, al-Bid quit the government and returned to the former southern capital of Aden, claiming that the new government was ignoring the needs of the south, in particular, its deep poverty. His attempt to secede from the union failed at that point, forcing him to leave for Oman, where he stayed for many years.
Al-Bid became a leader in the Al-Harak, or Southern Movement, to demand Southern Yemen to be succeeded from the Republic and become an independent state. This is him talking in 2012.
You have long called for secession, you worked for secession, and you fought for secession. Do you think that you can achieve this goal? How realistic is it?
I prefer to answer in Arabic so that I can express myself exactly.
With respect to the current status of the uprising in southern Yemen, the peaceful protests, I joined the movement there in 2008. Since then, I've been working with my fellow Yemenis inside Yemen and abroad to take it to another level. I believe we are advancing as we are working with all our fellow citizens there to keep this up. This peaceful uprising, I want to say, represents a huge popular movement, and it embraces the whole political spectrum, covering all the areas of the occupied South Yemen.
Saleh continued to consolidate his power after winning the brief civil war in 1994. In 1999, the Yemeni parliament passed a law extending presidential terms to 7 years and create a 111-member presidentially appointed council of advisors with legislative power. But the troubles in Yemen continued. Its human development index has continuously been the bottom of not only Asia, but the world. It ranked 178th out of 189 in the 2018 index, just above other states such as South Sudan and the Central African Republic. Government corruption was also not uncommon then. The region also cannot resolve armed conflicts as it needs to combat South Yemeni separatists, terrorist cells such as Al-Qaeda, and Shia rebels called the Houthis. and then the Arab Spring caught up in 2011, shortly after Tunisians overthrew President Zine El Abidine Ben Ali and ending his 24-year regime. Major protests happened in major Yemeni cities such as Sana'a and Aden, demanding governmental changes. Saleh initially refused to hand over power, and government forces opened fire at unarmed demonstrators at Sana'a in March, killing at least 52 people. But after an assassination attempt in June, which bombs exploded in the presidential compound. The attacks killed four bodyguards and caused Saleh burns and shrapnel injuries. After going to Saudi Arabia to receive treatment, he resigned and ceded power to Vice President Abdrabba Mansour Hadi in February 2012. But during the power vacuum of the transitional period, other parties were slowly taking control. The Houthi rebels had already taken control of most northern Yemen between 2012 and 2014, with forces loyal to Saleh, who reportedly wanted to return to power by aiding his once enemies. In September 2014, the Houthis attacked and occupied Sana'a, forcing Hadi to form a government with them. But the government didn't last long, as the Houthis and Saleh loyalists launched a coup in January next year, seizing the presidential palace and military bases. Hadi fled and moved the capital south to Aden, and the rebels also advanced south and reached the outskirts of Aden in March. After the fall of Sana'a and pro-Hadi forces losing the battle for Aden, nearby Saudi Arabia assembled a coalition with other Gulf states and the West to launch airstrikes against the rebels in April. Government security forces retook full control of Aden in July and since then started to counterattack the rebels aided by coalition airstrikes. However, these airstrikes were criticized for targeting schools, hospitals, and markets, causing many civilian and aid worker deaths.
The images disturbing and heartbreaking. Children pouring into a hospital, most of them under 10 years old, still wearing their backpacks and school uniforms covered in blood. After their school bus was hit by a bomb, a crater at the site of the airstrike, the smoke from the blast visible from miles away. Tonight, at least 29 children returning from a school picnic among the dozens killed.
All opposing sides in the Yemeni conflict had been notified of the hospital's location. But on Monday, an airstrike believed to have been launched by the Saudi coalition killed several and wounded over a dozen people in the northern Haja province. Witnesses say the doctors were unable to run for cover and evacuate the wounded. As warplanes hovered overhead, they feared more bombings. The hospital was run by Médecins Sans Frontières staff. The aid group says it's the fourth such attack against their facilities in less than a year.
The airstrikes also destroyed Yemen infrastructure, water and sanitation systems, causing an outbreak of cholera in 2016, affecting more than 600,000 people. Saleh himself returned to Sana'a after announcing a formal alliance with the Houthi rebels in July 2016. But the alliance broke down in late 2017 and Saleh publicly declared a split in the 2nd of December and expressed openness to hold talks with the Saudi-led coalition. 2 days later, he was killed in Sana'a trying to flee to Saudi-controlled territory. His vehicle was ambushed and disabled by a rocket-propelled grenade and he was shot by a Houthi sniper. Like nearby Syria and Iraq, the conflict in Yemen is another pawn of geopolitics in the Middle East between Saudi Arabia and Iran. But currently, 22 million people are a direct result of the conflict as famine, cholera broke out with very few humanitarian supplies coming in because the ports are either destroyed or not allowed into Yemen by the coalition-led blockades. Yes, and going a little bit more on the geopolitics, the Houthi rebels are backed by Iran, while maybe I should start by mentioning all the countries such as the Saudi Arabia, Iran, or America have interests in Yemen. But I'll start with the Saudi Arabia and Iran. So Saudi Arabia doesn't like Iran because Iran itself was founded on an Islamic revolution And basically what happened in Iran in the 1950s is Muslims overturning the Shah, that is the king in Iran, and forming an Islamic Republic. And because Saudi Arabia is governed by a king, and they obviously don't want a republic or such a movement to happen, a revolution, so they always try to do anything to curb Iran's power, and that included allying themselves with the US. And what happened in Yemen is Iran is backing the Houthi rebels who are overthrowing the Haiti government in Aden, and the Saudis don't really want a country just south of their territory to be controlled by an Iranian proxy. So that's why when the Haiti government is so near to its downfall during the Battle of Aden, it sends collision. It assembled a collision and used airstrikes to help the government, to help government security forces to push back. And basically the US is involved in this as well, because it is one of the strongest allies of Saudi Arabia since after the Second World War, and it sold so many weapons to them, including fighter jets, or even using refueling planes to help refuel Saudi bombers to continue their airstrikes. So like I said at the end of my story, the Yemeni war, the civil war, is just basically a pawn of the geopolitics. And 22 million people are now suffering because of it.
Cool, thank you for that. We've had a tweet in saying the brutal genocide through artificial famine being perpetrated in Yemen is one of the most atrocious crimes of the 21st century. What would you say to that? Do you think that's a fair analysis?
Now the coalition say they are bombing those ports and stuff, and it's posing a blockade because of tactical reasons. But the tweet might give some sense, because it does block the supplying of humanitarian aid into Yemen, especially North Yemen, because the rebel-backed areas are now completely blockaded, and there's no way of aid being going through.
All right, thank you very much, Justin.
Worry Week on The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.